Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 7, Episode 88. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com, and David Todd, my co-host, is not with me on this Friday. He had something come up all of a sudden on him. So sitting in on this Friday is my good buddy Alex Kozora. Alex, happy Friday. Happy 2017 league year Friday.
It was a crazy one, Dave. I know it's crazy every single year, but we have a lot to talk about today. But Brock Osweiler deal, that's some money ball tactics. Yeah, the Browns are doing well. How about that?
Yeah, boy, here's the thing. You can't fault them for spending some of this salary cap money on toughening up that line and making that line better. They already had Joel Bitonio, a guard, and now they've added Kevin Zeitler, as well. They obviously have already had Joe Thomas there, so you know, good on them for making that offensive line better. And I quickly after a few of those moves, I wrote on Twitter, well, now all they need is a quarterback to protect. And, not long after that, there was a report, by Adam Schefter. It was a curious. In fact, you had to make sure it wasn't one of those fake tweets, Twitter accounts, because it was so curious that the Browns had made a trade with the Houston Texans and had acquired Brock Osweiler and a 2018 second round draft pick. And immediately after that happened, I wrote on Twitter, I said, well, they basically just bought themselves a second round draft pick in 2018. And the more and more you look at the specifics of this thing, and really the Browns all but admitted it when they talked to the media as well too. It's like, oh yeah, we want your second round draft pick in 2018, and yeah, we'll take that. We'll take Brock Osweiler and the rest of his contract as well. So good on the Texans for being able to get out from underneath that thing. And now it'll be interesting to see if they land Tony Romo in some capacity here. I would expect that would be the plan. But let's talk a little bit about the money ball aspect of this and how the Browns are doing so far.
I think they're doing a good job. It was a very NBA move to basically do that salary cap dump. But, I don't make this in the Browns depot, but, they're building up that offensive line. They signed J.C. Treader. They get Bitonio to a long-term deal. Obviously, still have Joe Thomas. Kevin Zeitler was a huge get for them, and take it away from the Bengals is that kind of double whammy. I know it's just the offseason, and just because you win the offseason doesn't mean that you win in reality. And the Browns still have to make it work with their draft picks. They got 11 this year, 11 next year, but you have to give them credit. It looks like a little different franchise right now.
Well, here's the thing, and I don't have them. I don't have a problem with them being, the aggressive like they are and buying that second round pick next year. But is there an end game here for right now? I mean, surely you're not toughening up this line to throw Brock Osweiler or Robert Griffin III back there, right? I mean, they're stockpiling these picks. Are we going to see them actually go after a Kirk Cousins or a Jimmy Garoppolo or a Tony Romo or somebody here in the next few days? Or are they just stockpiling picks, and are they going to be fine with going through the season with one of those quarterbacks?
Well, I think they're going to take a run at Garoppolo, but, I don't know what the Patriots' asking price is. I'm sure the information that's out there is manufactured by New England to try to get the price up. But I think ultimately Garoppolo stays, and I think the Browns will look to the draft. So it's not going to be that Osweiler or RG3 are long-term futures there, maybe even short-term futures, But just, you know, those little minor bridge options to whatever guy that's not on the roster ends up trying to be their face of the franchise, whether that's a rookie quarterback like a Deshaun Watson or a Garoppolo. Maybe, you know, the Browns end up trading back up. They get Myles Garrett at one, and they, with all the ammunition they have, which is lengthy and extensive, they move back up to get, let's say, a Watson or Trubisky somewhere early in the first round.
What would it take if you're Bill Belichick and you have Garoppolo and knowing that this is probably going to be his last season in New England, and at best he's worth a third round, you know, a highest round compensatory formula type guy, you know, a third round that, and keep in mind that only factors in to whatever else you may or may not have done during the offseason. But what would you be willing to part with Garoppolo, and what would it take?
It's a good question. Probably something with a first and maybe some other, like a first and a third pick, or a third round pick or something like that, especially when you talk to a Browns team that has so many draft picks. It's not like they're going to be hurting if they have to even give up one or two of them. So I would ask for a lot because it is such a quarterback starved league. So maybe something like first and a third.
What do the Browns have this year?
They have 11 picks this year.
Right. Do they have two firsts this year?
I think so. I'd have to look at it. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I'm pulling that out. It seems.
They have 1-12 this year. I don't know.
I thought so. Let's see.
Yeah, they have two firsts this year. Two firsts, two seconds.
All right. So what if the Browns gave you their 12th overall that they have from Philly, and that second rounder in 2018 for Garoppolo? Would you take that?
I'd probably take 2017 second rounder rather than 2018.
Okay. You would take that then, right?
Me personally, probably. But, you know, I don't know what Belichick's mindset is.
Right. I mean, obviously we don't. But, I mean, even I think I would take that if I'm Belichick. Because, I mean, well, you're going to, you know, like I said, if you lose Brady, I mean, you're not expecting to lose Brady anyway. So what good is Jimmy Garoppolo doing you anyway when you're going to lose him after the season? You're not going to be able to re-sign him once you're not putting a tag on him or anything like that. But right. I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say here, without turning this into Patriots Patriots or Browns Depot or the Foxborough podcast. I think there's more to this. I you know, they're going out there and talking about the Browns. They're going out there and beefing up their offensive line. They've made a few other signings here. I would not be surprised if they land a quarterback, you know, here in a couple weeks. We'll just kind of, you know, we'll see where it goes from there. The Baltimore Ravens seem to have adverted a total bad situation, I think. I mean, they've already lost several guys and cut a few guys here during free agency, but they were able to retain Brandon Williams, and that means you and I mean, we're both big Brandon Williams fans. He didn't have as good of a season last year as he had in previous years, but we enjoy watching him, and now unfortunately we'll have to watch him against the Steelers a few more times.
Yeah, I went from thinking the Ravens were going to have a really tough offseason and lose a lot to thinking they have a pretty decent offseason. Now they've signed Tony Jefferson, you know, they retained Brandon Williams, which is so big for them. And I thought Williams had another great year last year. I really didn't see much of a drop-off, and he's just a headache. And so you had to deal with him for the next 5 years. It's not going to be fun, and they have Michael Pierce, so they have rotational guys that can do similar things. So that was surprising and not in a good way that made me feel for your Steelers fan.
Are the Cincinnati Bengals the biggest losers in the division right now?
Absolutely. I mean, they're just getting torched. I feel like, remember the Pirates years ago in that Rule 5 draft where they didn't protect anyone and they just got poached by everybody? That's what I feel like the Bengals are right now, to lose Kevin Zeitler, to lose Andrew Whitworth. I thought there was no chance they were going to lose Whitworth, and he goes to the LA Rams, and now Zeitler's in Cleveland. And they're going to be in a tough spot next year, I think. They're not looking good.
Yeah, you lose two of your best offensive linemen. Now, they did re-sign Dre Kirkpatrick. You can kind of see that coming. Mike Brown, didn't have two players that he had, you know, no longer, you know, he lost two players that he no longer had to pay. And you have Dre Kirkpatrick there, and you know, they obviously have William Jackson III, who's yet to play it down, and Pac-Man Jones and Denard over there, and who else? Josh Shaw. I mean, they could have probably got away without having Kirkpatrick, but I think you could see the writing on the wall with this, with Kirkpatrick the whole time. And I think I wrote as much on Twitter. I wouldn't be surprised if they re-signed him, especially after they losing Whitworth and Zeitler there. So, now to the Steelers. It was there was a lot of smoke before, you know, during the early portions of the tampering period and probably a little bit before that when it came to the Steelers and free agency. But push came to shove. There was no fire, right?
David Johnson's fire. Landry Jones is fire, isn't he? But, yeah, those are the two moves. If for any reason you missed it or want the refresher, David Johnson comes in, Landry Jones comes in on a two-year deal, and that's all the moves Steelers made yesterday.
Now, the Jones deal, I've said for some time now that I thought maybe Landry would get some interest on the outside there and thought, you know, he'd have a little bit higher price tag, but doesn't look like Landry Jones had any outside interest that we can tell. Maybe he got a phone call or two, but signing a two-year deal that averages $2.2 million, that's peanuts right there, right? I mean, are you surprised that this happened so quickly with Landry? Are you surprised that he didn't get any, you know, perceived interest? Are you surprised at what he ended up signing for?
I'm not surprised about the process at all. You know, we knew that Jones was going to test the market, and I figured he would test the market really quick, look, realize nothing was there, and then circle right back to Pittsburgh. And with a two-day legal tampering period, you get a good feel for your market value. So it's, even though free agency officially kicked off yesterday at 4 p.m., I mean, most teams know exactly what their situation is, what their options are, what the level of interest is. So by that point, Jones can basically already make his decision. So no surprise to see him come back to Pittsburgh is what I anticipated all along. What I am a little surprised by, and maybe this is my fault for not thinking and not realizing how the Steelers operate and how they're always able to get contracts under market value, is the price tag. I mean, Jones got less than Matt Cassel. He got half of what Matt Schaub got. I consider Landry Jones to be better and younger, and he definitely objectively is younger and I think better than either of those guys. So to see him come in for 2.2 per year surprised me a bit. Maybe it shouldn't have, because the Steelers, they just, because of the culture in the organization, they're always able to get their own under market value. And so I think it's a really solid deal.
You think that is under market value? I mean, I mean, I think it's easy to see. I mean, Jesus, look, I understand. you knew as soon as that hit Twitter, there was going to be some upset people. And I think we've determined already on this podcast through a random kind of email poll that for the most part, people that listen to this show are not huge Landry Jones fans. And that's probably not a huge surprise. Heck, I wasn't a huge, I mean, immediately after Landry Jones was drafted several years ago, I didn't like the pick, and I don't think you liked the pick either, Alex, at the time. And I think 2 years into Landry Jones' career, we were kind of hoping Landry would be cut, you know? There's no denying that Landry Jones, in my opinion, has made progress, you know, the last couple of years. You can debate how much of that progress is. You can debate if Landry Jones can win a game or two moving forward. Obviously, if you need Landry Jones to start seven games for you, you're probably going to be in trouble. But if you're, depending on how your schedule lines up, if you play a Cleveland or if you play a bottom, you know, level team, I think Landry gives you a fighting chance. And think about this when you think about his contract. Only $600,000 of it is guaranteed. That's a signing bonus that he was given. While it's almost certain that he's going to be the Steelers' number two this year, it's not to say that something can't happen and you know, maybe he gets bypassed by either a draft pick or make the sign of the cross, Zach Mettenberger. But, but stranger things, I guess, have happened here. But without a doubt, we expect Landry Jones to be the number two now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's any chance that that changes, unless the Steelers go crazy with like a first or second round quarterback, which I'm knocking on wood over here. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But no, I'm happy with Jones again. I know it sounds cliche, but he's a guy that knows the system, has been able to come off the bench before, has been able to start. He's been put in a variety of situations. I think he's responded to the moment pretty well. It's not been too big for him, even though I'm well aware not everything's been perfect and he has made his fair share of mistakes. But a guy that's very cool, confident. I think the guys around him have got confidence in him. He has confidence in the guys around him. He's got a good arm. He throws the ball vertically with accuracy, which is a big part of the Steelers scheme. Has gotten better on his intermediate, you know, accuracy, leading receivers in stride, things like that. So I'm happy with the signing. You know, you weren't going to go out and get a free agent quarterback because then you're getting into a bidding war with other teams in an inflated quarterback market. That's just silly to do. You can try to draft somebody, which, by the way, signing Jones does not mean you can't draft somebody. But you can try to get a rookie as your backup and be stuck in that spot. You don't want to be in that spot with a rookie as your number two. So the smart move, money's right. You can still draft a quarterback if you really want to champion that. I'm not with you, but if you want to, go ahead. So I think it makes sense on every level.
Apparently, people are telling me that that they could have gotten a better quarterback on Twitter. People put this out here. I'll call them out on it. Jefferson Street Joe on Twitter goes by at TGBE Green, writes, the last available: Fitzpatrick, Gabbert, McCown, Foles, Keenum, Hill, McGloin, Manuel, Smith, or Ponder. He says he apparently would take any of those guys I named instead of Landry Jones. But how many of those guys are you going to get for $2.2 million a season?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, maybe a guy like Christian Ponder, but I really don't think Christian Ponder is better than Landry Jones. And again, continuity and knowing how the guy is and how he operates. I don't know. I mean, I get it. If you don't like Landry Jones, I'm not changing your mind at this point. It's not going to happen, but I'm happy with it.
Yeah, I think that's it now. You're either team Landry or you're team somebody else at this point. Unfortunately, we have to revisit this again, and you did briefly. What's this do to the draft now?
I think it has no change because, again, Jones is the short-term backup option if something happens to Ben. He's not the heir. He's not the long-term future. So if you want to go find Ben's replacement or this guy that you think has some long-term potential, you can draft him. It's not going to affect Landry's situation. It's not going to take away Landry Jones' roster spot. If anything, it would take away Zach Mettenberger's roster spot or at least create competition there. So it should not. I don't see any reason why it would change the draft outlook for Pittsburgh.
In other words, they can still draft one, but now do we at least think that they're not going to draft one within the first four rounds? I mean,
no, yeah. I think that's in some sense from what Colbert said, maybe more likely than not, because Colbert said when he was talking to Bob Labriola and Missy Matthews at the combine that the quarterback has a lot of quality but not a lot of quantity, meaning it's top heavy, meaning there's a lot of guys in that maybe top six that are talented, and then there's a pretty steep drop off after that. And again, if you're looking for Ben's heir, if that's the approach they want to take, which again, I disagree with, I don't want to do it this year, wait another year, but if that's what they want to do, Liam Jones is not going to stop him from doing that.
All right, so maybe we can get through three rounds without it happening?
Again, I don't want him to do that. I don't want to take a quarterback at all, but I can't guarantee. Jones signing has nothing to do with their draft outlook. I know as much about their draft philosophy on quarterbacks pre-Jones as I do post-Jones signing, which is to say I don't really know what they're doing.
It's going to happen in round four, isn't it?
I don't know. It depends on these quarterbacks. There's a run, and if the you know, bottom drops off and there's a big fall off in talent, then it might put the brakes on things. I really don't know how things are going to work out. It'll be interesting.
They got Landry Jones in the fourth round. That seems to be that you could theorize that the talent, you know, that you could start seeing maybe a second run of on quarterbacks in round four there. So I don't know. Hopefully, I'm like you. I hope they don't touch it at all. I have a feeling that they still are going to draft a quarterback at some point, and we'll see. David Johnson, it ended up being a two-year deal on David Johnson. We don't know the specifics, I don't think, of that yet. It's not going to matter what the specifics are on that because it's going to be a very minimal deal nonetheless. We'll see what the signing bonus is, but nothing at this point without seeing the numbers would convince me that it still doesn't mean that David Johnson cannot be very much cuttable come August.
Right. There's no guarantee he's going to make the roster, but he's, I think, your best blocking tight end. A guy that played the second most snaps of any tight end last year on the Steelers roster. So, you know, he played a good bit. I mean, he is what he is. But he's a good blocker. And, you know, with Ladarius Green's issues and Jesse James working and improving as a blocker, but not quite there, having a guy like David Johnson is valuable.
All right, they're going to draft a tight end, right? And then they're going to cut Ladarius Green. And then our tight ends are going to be the draft pick, Jesse James and David Johnson. Is that right?
Is that a serious comment or is that a Yinzer impersonation?
I don't know. It's not hard to kind of not kind of.
I mean, it's possible. I think they carry Green to at least camp and figure it out there.
Yeah, I mean, look,
they haven't cut him by now. I don't know why you're going
to
cut him.
Well, there's no need to cut him right now.
Right, right. There's no need to cut him in June.
Right, especially before the draft. Now, you know, draft rolls around and you see what you get. I mean, obviously, it makes no, you know, I'm just kind of throwing that kind of stuff. I think it's a possibility, though. It wouldn't shock me if that ended up happening. David Johnson, I don't know how safe his spot is. It'll be interesting to see the numbers on this thing. The guy can block. The guy looked totally different upon arriving back to the team from San Diego physique-wise. But with that said, he's still not Matt Spaeth at Matt Spaeth's finest hour.
No, he's probably a little just because he's not doesn't have the size in terms of the height and the weight. Because what Spaeth could do was take on some of these 4-3 ends in pass protection that have big long lengths and big size. Like Cincinnati, he was always really good against Cincinnati. Carlos Dunlap, Michael Johnson. Now, I didn't know this till last year, but David Johnson has incredible length for his size. He's about 6'2.5" with something like 33.5" or 33¾" arm length. So that's insane. And it really helps him as a blocker when he has that tenacity and leg drive. He's always kind of been that kind of guy that, you know, really nasty demeanor. But he doesn't have necessarily the height and the weight of a Matt Spaeth to be that great pass protection. But in the run game, I think he gets after it just as well as Spaeth or close to it.
He looked a lot different. He looked less like a tight end / fullback and more like a blocking tight end, if you will. You know, I thought physique-wise. Now, we didn't see him line up a whole heck of a lot in the backfield anyway, even when Roosevelt Nix was sidelined early on in the year with the back injury there. But I like DJ. I just think you can upgrade that, especially if you get a guy in a draft like my boy Kittle out of Iowa.
Yeah, that's the next David Johnson, a little more athletic David Johnson.
Yeah, I really is. Really, really impressive. I knew he was fairly athletic. I didn't think he'd post the numbers that Kittle would post at the combine. Okay. I'm pretty sure his numbers shocked everybody. And because of that, teams obviously kind of knew this kind of stuff, but you know, I was thinking maybe this is a guy the Steelers could get in the sixth or seventh round. I think he's a slam dunk fifth round guy now, right? Sixth round at worst.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that would hurt a stock is just how deep this tight end class is, and you're going to get so many guys coming off the board early that you might not get as many late. But yeah, I think it's going to be a fifth, sixth rounder. I didn't realize this, but someone tweeted out yesterday that Kittle had a foot injury last year at Iowa, which kind of hampered him. So I think the reason why he tested so well, and maybe his 2016 tape isn't indicative of his talent and his athleticism, is because of that foot injury. So that's a good kind of nugget to keep in mind when you're thinking about George Kittle.
Yeah, and I wrote up, and I saw several, when I wrote Kittle up in my scouting profile there a few weeks ago, there were, you know, researching his kind of injuries. different people had different things, you know, of what they said. Now, where did I put here on him? Lower. It was described as a lower leg injury. Some people thought maybe knee. Some people thought ankle or whatnot. But I mean, he admitted there's a combine interview floating around that he was hurt. But he also tried to fight through that as well too. So he is a guy that appears to play hurt. If you're going to wait on a tight end, not that there's not other tight ends that I don't like, that it wouldn't hurt my feelings that the Steelers drafted. But if you're going to wait and you want a guy that kind of more well-rounded, a more kind of throwback traditional type of tight end, Kittle, in my opinion, you could do a lot worse than that. And I was glad to see him have a great combine as well. Okay, the two big moves, obviously, if you want to call them that, Landry Jones and David Johnson. And Steeler fans, the mortgage process sometimes can be more challenging than spelling. What's that kid out of University of Connecticut? It's your turn to say his name.
Oh, Melon Fonwu.
Ah, nicely done. Obi, say it again.
Melon Fonwu, I believe.
Can you spell that?
M-E-L-I-F-O-N-W-U or U-W or something. Close enough.
Well, there you go. You know, the mortgage process sometimes can be more challenging than that, Alex. And what you should do is Craig Oxane guide you through the sometimes daunting mortgage process to help you score the home of your dreams. Even in, where are we going today? Auburn. That's where the Steelers are today. Even in Auburn, if you're considering buying or refinancing a home now or in the future, please give our sponsor, Craig Oxane, a call. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender that can help you achieve the dream of home ownership. Call Craig Oxane today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. You can email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. First Advantage Mortgage Company, NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. Back to it now.
Hey, Dave, real right. quick, let me take your temperature. This Colts just released Patrick Robinson. Steelers have had interest in him in the past. Any thoughts there?
There's definitely been past interest there. I mean, why wouldn't they want to kick those tires again? I don't remember I don't remember watching him much last year. So, look, I mean, that's definitely a guy that they've kicked the tires on before, and you would think at this point, 1 year minimum salary benefit type contract, right? I mean, he's going to get a little of attention though, right? Maybe?
I'm looking at it. I mean, I think because he went to San Diego. He visited in 2015. He ended up going to San Diego from New Orleans. And then he went with the Colts last year. And so I don't think the Steelers had interest then, or at least known interest. So maybe they've kind of cooled off on him. And he only played 7 games last year. I don't know what the injury. I think the whole Colts secondary was so banged up last year. I assume there was some sort of injury there. But he started 6 games, 20-something tackles, a couple pass deflections, a forced fumble. I mean, they're looking at Brandon Flowers, who they circled back on. You know, they've had interest in Flowers in the past, so maybe they'll do the same with Robinson.
Yeah, very, very rarely, though, do we see the Steelers have duplicate interest in a guy, though, right?
Well, they're doing what Flowers, it looks like. I mean, yeah, I get your point. It is rare for them to circle back and actually sign a guy, but just tea leaves connecting there.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to draw a line when it comes to a guy like Patrick Robinson. Lawrence Timmons, he's going to go to Miami today, it sounds like, and have a visit with the Dolphins. Probably not one of the top two spots I would have envisioned him quite possibly landing, but they have a little bit of cap space there. To me, though, Lawrence, played his college football in Florida at Florida State. He trains during the offseason in Miami at Pete Bomarito's place. I guess it's not shocking overall, but when you look at this overall, you would have to think that they would have to blow him out of the water with money right in order for him to choose the Dolphins over the Steelers, and this assumes that the Steelers have somewhat of a more than minimum a year offer on the table for him?
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say, and the thing we have to keep in mind is the Steelers have to want Timmons back as well, and, I mean, Colbert was fairly lukewarm on it when asked about it a couple weeks back during his, you know, circuit talking to the media. I mean, I'm sure they would have Timmons back for the right price. That's always what we hear, for the right price, of course, but it's a question of, you know, if they really feel like they want to move on, then they're going to move on, and it doesn't really matter about the, you know, the Dolphins don't have to throw a ton of money at Timmons if Timmons just feels like the Steelers don't want him back, or if the Steelers make it pretty clear, either verbally or with the contract they offer, you know, that they don't want him back. So I don't think the Dolphins have to blow him away with tons of money. I mean, I don't know what the situation is, but I mean, it makes sense. It's kind of going home for him. I mean, he's a South Carolina guy, but he was played football at Florida State, and like you said, he's been in Florida a lot, and I mean, you can't beat Miami weather. So you know, I income tax too, right? Florida, you get to save a lot of money on taxes too, which will help with the whole money aspect.
Yeah, but it sure, I lived in Florida most of my life, and it still didn't help me. it did seem like I'm tired of writing out these damn checks. You know, but look, I don't think you're giving Colbert's comments on him enough kind of credit. I mean, I think he wants him back. I mean, I think they wanted Jones back. I think they wanted Timmons back, but they want him back at the right price. Now, it would be an insult to offer Timmons a minimum salary, you know, deal. I mean, that there's no way they would insult him like that. But you know, for a guy like Timmons that might think he's worth $5, $6, $7 million a season, he probably can count on not getting that either. So, you know, what do the Steelers have on the table, and what's he likely to get offered from Miami? And if there's a huge difference there, I mean, quite honest, I mean, what kind of value could he have to Miami? $5 million, $6 million maybe? I mean, if he gets that kind of money from Miami, then he should probably take it, I guess. But I mean, this is the same guy that's earned well over $60 million during his career. And I hate to use, because I'm not in his situation, you know, how much money is enough, you know? You would think, I guess what I'm getting at is, you would think if it's close, he's going to resign with Pittsburgh.
Sure. I guarantee you he wants to stay in Pittsburgh because that's where he spent his whole career. It's what he knows. It's what he's comfortable with. I don't think there's any reason he wants to leave Pittsburgh. I mean, he wants to win, all that. But it's just a question of if the Steelers just don't show enough interest, and if their contract offer, assuming there is even an offer, I think maybe they're waiting right now and seeing exactly what the market value is. That's another reason why Timmons hit free agency, just because I don't think any of us have a good gauge and good feel for what his value is, because he's a 30-year-old guy who's playing well, but again, he's 30 years old. So how do you handle that contract? I think if it's close, yeah, it's Pittsburgh all the way. And I think Timmons wants to come back to Pittsburgh, but I'm not going to pretend, you know, we sat here in camp, you know, this past camp saying Vince Williams got his long-term deal. Timmons is probably done in Pittsburgh. So I'm sure Timmons saw that as well. So I can't sit here and assume that the Steelers won him back with open arms and a fat check.
Well, I mean, at this point, I mean, it's not going to be surprising if he ends up elsewhere, you know, because he did not get the extension last year. Vince Williams did, even though that's not much of an extension for Vince Williams. I mean, that's...
Well, they come in under market value, but it's still an extension, and it's still something that was surprised us, and they didn't have to do, you know?
Right. I mean, well under one, you know, it sure was protection, you know?
Yeah.
You can't argue about that. So, will we know something about Timmons by Monday?
Yeah, I think we will, because by Monday, anyone else who has interest in him is probably going to show it. You're going to get an offer, I assume, from the Dolphins. That's going to help set his market value. It's going to give a nice evaluation for Timmons and the Steelers to figure out exactly how close they are and what Timmons wants to do and what he values. So I guess by Monday, I mean, who knows, but I guess by Monday he's going to make a decision, and we'll find out. Now, the Dolphins seem to be courting him pretty good. I mean, he landed real late last night, like 2 a.m. I think a Dolphin sent a private jet, so that's always makes you feel wanted a little bit.
Yeah, it'll be most interesting to see what happens here. Like I said, I could see the Titans or maybe the Cardinals having interest in him, and really only the Cardinals, because if something happens here with Kevin Minter in the coming days, if they lose a guy like him, the Titans obviously know a lot about Lawrence Timmons with Dick LeBeau there as well too. So, Alex, what happened? Steelers have interest in Dre Kirkpatrick / Logan Ryan. What happened?
Money happened. Both of them, $10 million they average. So that's just going to put him out of the Steelers' range. I mean, even me hoping the Steelers would be more aggressive and make that one splash, maybe at $6 to $7 million with some extra cap space this year. $10 million though was just too much, you know.
Do you buy any of this close to signing?
I think they're the guy that goes to a Ferrari lot, drives the Ferrari, gets the price, and then bails. You know, that's what I think. That's what I think they are. They're the guy that flips through the yacht magazine and think about how great it would be to own that yacht, and then look at their bank account and realize, I own a yacht someday. So I think that there's interest, but as soon as they get the price tag, like it was with Terrell Pryor, it's like, okay, well, that was fun.
I mean, my girl Aditi, and folks, I think Aditi does a hell of a job. I really do. But for her to go on the air like she did the other night and say the Steelers are close to signing Dre Kirkpatrick, I don't believe that for a second. I cannot believe that for a second.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the source is, and maybe it was closer and it fell apart. Maybe the Bengals countered, but yeah, I don't think the Steelers were ever super close.
How surprised are you that here we are? Let's see, we're recording this. It is now 12:45 on the East Coast. As of right now, the Steelers have re-signed two of their own and no outside free agents. We should also mention that they have lost Marcus Wheaton to the Chicago Bears on a two-year deal. I don't have the specifics on that just yet either. But how surprised are you that that's the metal count right now?
That's a good way to put it, metal count. Yeah, I'm a little surprised. I thought they'd maybe make a bigger splash, but there's still time. I mean, you know, day one, you're getting all the top-tier guys, and there's a lot of money being thrown around right now. So there's still talent out there, obviously, in free agency. So I don't want to discount anything. But, yeah, I thought there'd be a little bit more interest. But they're connected. You know, some of the other corners are connected to lower-tier guys. Maybe we can talk about them for a second. The Brandon Flowers, Marcus Cooper. I watched some of Cooper last night. I came away pretty impressed. I think he'd make a lot of sense, maybe competing for that left corner spot with Ross Cockrell.
Yeah, big guy outside, a guy that could probably help you on special teams. I forgot to look up his special teams totals. Did you look anything like that? Because, look, here's the thing. The Steelers are going to sign a cornerback here in the next 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, the next couple days I think they'll probably sign somebody.
So that's a true. Now, why are they signing a cornerback? Because Kevin Colbert hates to go into the drafts with gigantic holes. He likes to go in there feeling somewhat happy or able to go with what he's got. Now, I know a lot of people saying, well, Ross Cockrell this. Ross Cockrell is going to be a Steeler until he's not a Steeler. Okay, so don't tell me Ross Cockrell's gone until Ross Cockrell's gone. I understand that it's a possibility. I understand we've already rehashed all these, you know, all the risk involved with them putting but I mean, even so now, when you look at this group of free agent cornerbacks, yeah, I know Tuesday. did you see my rundown on Twitter this morning?
Probably asleep, so I probably didn't see it.
I started naming off, you know, when we get into this stage and people are looking at some of these cornerbacks that are left out here. Here's a response we're going to start hearing from people on Twitter and readers and a lot in the fan base, Alex. Play dropped off. too old, injury history, too short, third nipple.
Oh my God, that's true.
I mean, that's where you're at though when you're looking at these guys, right?
Right. There's still some talent out there. Morris Claiborne would be a nice consolation prize, I think, for the right price. Again, I'll be that guy. It's just for the right price. My concern is just to put a quick bow on the cornerback position. I'm okay with the outside guys. I'm cool with Cockrell. I'm cool with Artie Burns. What I'm struggling with is the slot corner spot, because you have William Gay, who I don't think is falling off the way most people think, but he's declining, and you have Senquez Golson, who you know nothing about. And so slot corner is really hard to get in the draft because it's such a difficult position to learn. And that's why I was really excited about a guy like Logan Ryan, because he'd be your answer to the slot and maybe your base left corner as well. So that's my big concern right now. I'm cool with Cockrell and Burns. Maybe you aren't. I don't know. But I'm happy with the outside spot. Depth needs improved, but I'm cool with the starters. The starting slot, though, which is basically just another starter, I think has a big question mark to it. And if the Steelers want to really upgrade this spot, that's where you expect them to make a move.
I think all of a sudden now I get painted as a Ross Cockrell hater, Alex, because
you do?
Because I'm not slamming my fist on the table, yelling that why didn't the Steelers put a second round tender on Steelers? I think because of that I am now painted as a Ross Cockrell hater, and because of the fact that I dare suggest that the Steelers get one of these. Bargain free agent corners that has a third nipple. You know, that's not it. I mean, you heard my conversation with David the other day. I mean, look, I mean, do we really expect Ross Cockrell 2 years down the line to be the starter for this team outside opposite Artie Burns?
Maybe I'm higher on Cockrell than you. He was the best cover corner this year for Pittsburgh. I don't know what the future holds, but I think Cockrell's going to get better. And I think there's a chance that he could continue to start for this team.
I think he can be a great serviceable depth guy. I'm okay if he has to start next year as well too. I think there's a lot of room. I think he can do better there. You know,
sure. Absolutely. You can,
you know, and I think that's ultimately going. Now is the guy that the Steelers are going to, all right, true or false. You saw the corners on my short list. Let's add Marcus Cooper to that. Let's add, Claiborne and Patrick Robinson to that list. So we have what, six total corners. I think now seven total corners on that list. Is the Steelers, is one they're going to sign going to come out of those names?
I think they might go after Cooper. I think Cooper's a big guy who's got a nice athletic resume, who's shown ball skills. He played some cover two in Arizona, and he's got good ability to diagnose and close on the football. A little stiff trying to flip his hips, but he can go downhill pretty well. So, yeah, I think they go after either like a Flowers, who I'd be against, by the way, but Flowers or a Cooper. I think those are the two most likely options.
Who wins out between Cooper and Cockrell?
It's a good question. I don't have the great answer to it. I think Cockrell might, but Cooper is a little Cockrell-like in the sense that he got traded to Arizona and didn't play week one, but week two he came in the second series of the game against Tampa Bay and played 65 snaps, which is kind of similar to what a Cockrell did when he came over from Buffalo. So. I'm all for the competition, though. I'm not saying Cockrell can't be upgraded. You know, if you could get, let's say, Kevin King in the draft, if you groom him for a year and then the year after that takes over for Cockrell, I'm all for it. I'm all for competition. But I just think, you know, Cockrell played well last year, especially in coverage. You know, he was out there shadowing top receivers for several weeks. Remember, he shut down A.J. Green week two. You know, so I think we got to give Cockrell his due a little bit.
The thing is, too, you got to prepare yourself because you just don't know who's going to fall to you in the draft. You can't go into the draft saying, I know I'm going to get one of these three guys.
Sure. Yep. I don't disagree with that.
And that's why you and I are at the point now where we're saying within the next 7 to 10 days, the Steelers are going to sign a cornerback We just don't know. We just don't know who it is and what the price tag is and how many nipples he's going to have, right?
2 to 3 nipples. Confident in that range. Can't tell you much more.
Someone tweeted me back and said that third nipple is going to be a distraction in the locker room.
Oh my goodness.
All right. I don't think we've talked about to you since the combine ended. What did you learn from what saw in Indianapolis this go around?
Oh, I got so many thoughts in my head right now trying to think back. It feels like an eternity ago. I think the defensive back class has been fantastic. Really excited about them. Some of the edge guys impressed. Some of the edge guys, you know, struggled a little bit. Charles Harris looked really good in field workouts. Didn't test well. Carl Lawson continued to look good. Derek Rivers makes me think he's in play for 30. He's justifiably a first-round pick now with the way that he's tested. The running back class was a little disappointing at the combine, but I think it's still good overall. The tight ends are freaks. We all know that. The defense, just across the defensive side of the board, just entirely was fantastic. I mean, I know we say this every year, but I thought this was a really, really talented class coming out.
Anybody that wasn't in the first round, other than the kid from Connecticut, I mean, who are you going back and looking at now and saying, oh Lord, that guy's going to go in the first round, and I probably didn't know that until the combine took place.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a ton of them. I think Zay Jones from East Carolina, the receiver, could sneak in. I think Melo Fonwu, I think has a really good chance. That's the safety from UConn who was insane. I think Derek Rivers, I thought Derek Rivers was going to test well and become a first-round pick, and so this didn't surprise me, but that's we're able to test it and now measure it and believe that he will. Not a lot of guys on that list, but I think that those are maybe the three that come to mind.
All right, who you looking forward to looking at tape on right now?
What do I have on my list? Kevin King, who we mentioned earlier, who had I really didn't know much about, but 6'3", 200-plus, who ran, 4'4", and his shuttle drills, agility drills were ridiculous, I think top of the class, 39.5-inch vertical, I think. So Kevin King, I'm watching tape on right now. If you want to go through the pro days, did we talk about pro days at all, places Steelers have been?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and recap, and we'll finish up one with a guy that we knew the Steelers would be at watching.
Absolutely. If you haven't seen it on Steelers Depot, we're doing our pro day tracker. I just updated the article, moved it closer to the top of the page. So just to keep track of where the Steelers are at. So far, they've been to Alabama. Colbert was there. Been to Colorado. Mark Bruner and Terry Cousins were there, which is interesting that they bring Terry Cousins, the player engagement coordinator. Temple, someone was there to watch Reddick. Oklahoma, James Saxon worked out. P. Ryan and Joe Mixon. And, of course, today, which is the one we'll talk about, Auburn, the whole triumphant, I don't even know what the word is, was there. Tomlin, Colbert, Porter, and you can bet they're watching one Carvel Lawson.
Yeah, I think I used to call it contingency, but that's not the right word to use. It's called it's contingent of Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert, and Joey Porter. You and I are unshocked.
Yeah, and, Lawson, I wish, what was the word I was looking at? Triumvirate, some sort of ancient Rome. I just looked it up. But I wish Lawson would have run the 3-cone, though, because the one number that wasn't great and kind of threw up a little bit of an alarm was the 3-cone. It was a 7.46, and that's not usually correlating with success. So I wish he would have run, but he didn't do any of the workouts. He just did on-field drills. But looking beyond that, he knew the Steelers were going to have interest in this guy, SEC guy, good production guy. Size, power. I think he's a good athlete. I think he can bend the edge. I don't think that the 3-cone matches with what I see on tape. So no surprise the Steelers are interested in Carl Lawson.
And look, his 20-yard shuttle, 4.19. I mean, that's fantastic.
Really good.
And if you look at there's an old thing that Pat Kerwin likes to use. He talks about figuring out a speed score at times. And what you do is you take a player's 40-yard dash number, and then you subtract the 20-yard shuttle time from it, and that gives you what they like to call maybe a speed number. And if you can get that number close to 0.5 speed and kind of agility number there, that's supposedly great. And Carl Lawson's is like what, 0.49? That's the difference. Obviously, you want a greater number between your 40 you want your 40 to be a good number, which in Carl Lawson's case it was for his position group, a 4.67. But if you can have that 20-yard shuttle point, you know, 0.49, 0.5 or greater difference, you know, lower than your 40 time, that's supposedly, you know, there's some good history behind that number as well, too. Now, you mentioned the three cone time. Here's the problem. We didn't see him run that. Did he slip?
Right.
You know, did he just not train as hard for that? Look, if I'm him and I thought I could have bettered that number, you're damn right I would have ran that at Auburn's pro day again. So we'll never know the reason why. You know, there's no he obviously didn't run the 60 shuttle, but who really cares? I don't know. I would have liked to see him run. I think all these guys should have run every bit of them. You know, just I don't see how it hurts you, to be quite honest with you. Lawson, however, did have a 33-inch vertical and a nine. His broad probably could have been a little bit better than 9'6", but we know the reason why he put up 35 on the bench, though, right?
The short arms, but that also means weight room dedication. So I give him credit.
Right. I mean, hey, you don't want to knock it, but you don't want to give too much credit to it either. You know, I don't think. But I mean, it was
35. Not many guys, even with short arms, put up 35 reps for outside linebackers. All right. You know?
And he's ripped up top too. I don't know if you saw the combine interview with him.
Did. Yeah. That was really good. That was a fun interview too. He's very confident. I like his personality.
Right. And some people say maybe too cocky. I don't know. He's got a great chance of being on. Some people say, I'm still not concerned about. I'm still concerned about him possibly turning the corner, being able to bend. I don't like his play against the run. What would you say to those people?
It's hard to convince somebody. Either, you know, you see it or you don't. I think he's able to bend. I just think you can't expect a guy to win every single time. You know, that's just unrealistic. I think he counters well. I think he can win in a variety of ways. He's not just a speed guy. He has to win with speed. He's got a strong upper body. You know, do some Pilates, yoga. I don't think they're major issues.
Is there any chance at all Carl Lawson falls to the second round to the Steelers?
I know some people are lower on him.
Because people are still waiting for us to acknowledge this Andrew Billings stuff.
Well, I was wrong on that.
I thought he was a first round guy too. We both missed. I mean, it happens, right?
It's going to happen every year. Everyone's going to have their misses. I mean, you know, that's just part of the game. And, you know, we don't know everything. There was rumors about Billings' medical history, and obviously suffered a knee injury this year with Cincinnati. So that has a big role into it. And maybe Lawson has a similar thing because there's a very glaring medical component and concern with him where he's missed quite a bit of time. And, you know, teams might have him off the board medically or have concerns, reservations about long-term health. You know, we hear that with guys like Jonathan Allen with his shoulders and, you know, players like that. So I can't guarantee that I can't guarantee that he won't be there at 62, but I'd be pretty surprised. I think he's going to be a top 40 type, draft pick.
And the big thing with Carl Lawson, we knew this going into the combine as well, is these medicals are huge for him because of the cracked hip, because of the knee issue that he had a couple years ago as well. But he seemed to answer those injury concerns last year. I mean, obviously, you want to make sure that hip's not going to be an issue moving forward. No? But, I mean, look, you got a guy like Takaris McKinley now. Sort of damaged first year goods for you, right? I mean, when would we expect a guy like McKinley to be able to play after he just underwent surgery the other day?
Right. Yeah, that's a guy I'm kind of low on with the injury. I think he is a guy that's legitimately stiff, and the numbers I think kind of told that story. So that's one guy I don't like in this edge class.
Yeah, you look at his 20-yard shuttle. 4.62. You look at his three cone time was even slower than the poor. You know the I don't want to say. I mean Lawson's number three cone wasn't, you know, drop dead awful. We just expected better, right?
It was pretty bad objectively. It was one of the worst ones.
Okay, well 7.69 then
even worse.
I mean 7.48 for McKinley was even worse then. And when you look at McKinley's McKinley didn't have a bad 40, though, right?
I mean, now the 40 was the best thing, but the other numbers were pretty poor. And I just watch him on tape, and tape's the biggest thing. And I think I don't see the bend like I do Lawson on tape.
All right, where are you in these edge guys at possibility for Steelers at 30 overall? I mean, Lawson's one up. We know that. Rivers has to be considered there. Reddick has to be considered there. Any consideration to Harris there?
If he falls, I mean, if people get turned off by the numbers, I need to watch his tape some more. If you're drafting Charles Harris from Missouri, you're drafting it based off of the tape, not the workout numbers, because the workout numbers are poor. And if they draft Charles Harris, you're going to get 85 people talking about Jarvis Jones numbers because they kind of look similar. Tyus Bowser, I think, is still a sleeper somewhere around there, who I think had a nice pro day, combine as well, and is a little Dupree-like. We've talked about him before. So plenty of options, though, for Pittsburgh. I don't think they're going to have any shortage on guys they like.
Bowser really is a kind of a dark horse there. He really did put up nice numbers, and he's got – of all these guys we just kind of talked about, he probably has the most experience on his feet, right?
Oh, yeah, that's the big allure with him. Very, very much Dupree-like in stats and use and body type for production and a little athleticism as well.
Is he a guy that might be there in the second round?
I'd love him to. We had a big debate on Depot. I think he's a top 50 guy, so I think you're pushing it if he's going to get there at 62. Jordan Willis, throw Jordan Willis' name in. He had best combine maybe of anybody, and blew people away with agility numbers because people thought he was a super stiff guy. So, I mean, you know, could they take a Jordan Willis? He's got a high IQ, high character. Teams are going to love him. There's no question about that. Production has killed it everywhere he's gone, whether that's a Kansas State where he put up insane numbers, a Senior Bowl, was quiet in practice during the game. He has 2 sacks, a forced fumble. The combine, he kills it. I mean, this guy just produces every single place he goes. There's a lot of debate about him, but you can't deny the level of success he's had.
All right, what else you got for me to close out the show?
Let's just get to Craig. I think I'll run my mouth. It's blizzarding here, so I'm going to get my toboggan and slide on out.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's coming down pretty good.
All right, well, it's 70-something in Vegas. How's that for you? hey, Steelers Nation, mortgage rates are currently at near all-time lows. If you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or refinance, contact our buddy Craig Oxane from First Advantage Mortgage. Thankfully or unthankfully, Landry Jones will not be having to contact our buddy Craig Oxane. I think we got a tweet from Craig on that yesterday after that news happened. A lifelong Steelers fan and Pittsburgh native, Craig is a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help you out, our terrible podcast listeners. Call Craig Oxane today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Or you can email Craig at blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. And with that, we'll close out this episode. We'll be back on Monday again, probably David and I. If not, it'll be Alex and I. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow my co-host David Todd at David M. Todd. Follow Alex Kozora at Alex_Kozora. You can follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you like what you hear, if you'd like to donate to the show, you know, help the cause, if you will, you can go to SteelersDepot.com, find that donate button upper right navigational bar. That'll take you to PayPal so you can do it securely. And as always, thanks for listening to The Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.